Hopefully you found Habakkuk by now. If you have a Scofield Bible, it's on page 956. Chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him." Look at this phrase. It says, "But the just shall live by his faith." But the just shall live by his faith. Romans chapter number 1. Romans 1:17. "And therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. Verse 38. "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." Galatians chapter number 3. Galatians chapter number 3 and verse 11. "But no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them." Let's pray. Lord, we come to you humbly. God, I believe you're trying to get a thought across here tonight. God, help us to live by faith. Lord, help us now as we go through the scriptures. Lord, I pray you touch our heart, Lord, whatever the needs are, and Lord, wherever someone is at, Lord, I pray you'd meet those needs. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thankful for the Word of God that repeats things. A great teacher is a repetition. Sometimes I'll tell my kids to do something and they'll say, "Well, you already told me to do that." I said, "Well, you still haven't done it. So that's why I'm saying it again." And the Lord sometimes repeats things. I find it interesting that this phrase shows up multiple times in our Bible. Once in a, I don't want to say obscure, but maybe a less known, something that we would call a minor prophet, Habakkuk. Not a lot of time maybe in your Bible study in the book of Habakkuk. We come to the book of doctrine in the book of Romans, and we find the phrase, a letter to Jewish believers some 30 years after the resurrection of Christ in the book of Hebrews, and then a letter to the Jewish believers, a letter to a church and a group of Christians that were mistaking the works of the law and the gift of grace, and those would be the Galatians. And he tells them all the same thing, and I walk away and say, what's the application of that? What can we learn from that? There's something important that the Lord would like us to know, and that is this. It is His expectation that we live by faith. Yes? Can we not look at those three passages and conclude, I believe God desires that man would live by faith. Now we know this, go back to, maybe you're still there, Galatians chapter number 3. What do we know about faith? Number one, we know faith is justifying, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. But no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. See, remember the church of Galatia had this problem. They were taking the works of God, the gift of grace, and attaching something to it, works. And said, yes, you need this, but you also need these things. And Paul is like, hold on, you're messing this thing up. It's by grace. Let me explain to you what the law does for you. It brings you, do we neglect the law? No, the law is very, very important. With no law, we see no violation of it. Without the understanding of the law, we are not sinners. But the law does something, condemns us. The gift of grace through faith does something that the law could never do, and that's justify us. But no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. How is a man justified, or how does he look just to God? By faith. A man is justified completely and totally by faith. Praise the Lord for that. Look at Galatians chapter 2, probably just one page back. Tonight's message is called Live by Faith. Point number one, faith is justifying. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. What does the law do for us? It brings us to Christ. It condemns us. It never justified us. But by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Pretty clear there. Man is justified. What does justified mean? It is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It is the easy definition in our head. Justification is just as if I never sinned. The law could never do that. The law was the AA meeting. Say, what does that mean? You're always a drunk. I mean, isn't that what AA tells you? You're always a drunk. But you have victory over today. Okay, if you want to live under the law. But let me tell you what grace through faith does. It takes someone that was once that and justifies them and makes it like it never happened. Man, I love the goodness of God. I love the mercy of God. I love the grace of God. And I am so thankful that He made a way to take something that's awful and rotten and justify it. Amen. Only faith can do that. Law can't do that. Faith in the gift of grace does what the law could not do. Remove the penalty of sin. The law, through the law, you could cover it, but you could never remove it. It was always there. But the Lord Jesus Christ did something. He justified us as if it was never there. Romans chapter 8, look at these great verses. When you walk out of here tonight, I hope in your heart you say these words: it is good to be a child of God. It is good to be saved. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You know what that means? You're justified. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It's not like we're on the run, just trying to get away from the Lord. I've been doing some reading in preparation for Vacation Bible School this summer and reading about the life of George Mueller. And George Mueller was I would say a naughty young boy, but he was bad. He was wicked. And he stole and he did bad things and he stole from a lot of people and it caught up with him. And he was in this hotel and he already raised a bunch of debt there. He ate lavishly and lived a certain lifestyle. And after 3 days, the innkeeper comes and says, "Hey, you need to reconcile." And he's like, "Oh yeah, don't worry about that. I'll do that." And he went out and snuck out a window and he was running and they caught him. And sometimes we approach the Lord that same way. I just got to stay one step ahead of the Lord so He doesn't catch me. Understand Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Hey, there is no running from God. There is therefore now no condemnation. You're not ducking out of something. God actually wiped that account clean. You don't have to run from the Lord. Actually, you would do much better to run to the Lord. Because there's no more condemnation. Say, how did I get that? Through the law? No, through faith. The just shall live by faith. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. What did the law bring? It brought sin and it brought death. What did Jesus Christ bring? Grace, faith, freedom. Verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'm thankful for faith tonight, faith that is justifying. Yeah. So what's the time frame on that? John chapter 3 and verse 36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath temporal, maybe sometimes, once in a while, life. No, that's not the word it uses. It says this in John 3:36, he that believeth, what is that? That's faith. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Not only is it justified at this moment, it's justified for all eternity. Man, it's good to be a child of God. It's good to be saved. Every person at some point in their life needs to, must, ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive them of their sins. For without that, there is no promise of eternal life. There's got to be a moment of faith. There's got to be a moment, 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And in his life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's as easy as that. Are you saved? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins? If so, you have eternal life based on the promises of God. Hey, I want to encourage you tonight. If you're not saved, tonight, today. Because faith can do what the law could never do. It could justify you. Faith is justifying. That's why God says, the just shall live by faith. But it didn't just stop there. Because life doesn't stop when you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, does it? No, we continue on. We have something called Monday. And Tuesday, and every day thereafter. Here we are midweek, Wednesday. Brother Primer, what time did you start today? What time? What time did you start work today? Five. Mm-mm. And yet we continue on in life. So yeah, I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Yes, I'm promised eternity, but what about today? The Bible tells us the just shall live by faith. Daily. Living. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. I think this will be a help to you. 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse 5. It says this, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but and giveth grace to the humble. Not only does God justify us, but is faith justifying, but faith is also humbling. Say, how so? Well, let's think about this. Let's think this through. God here is giving us instruction of how to live daily. He says, this is the attitude and the approach to every single day that I want you to live. By faith. Humbly. You know, there's some things that just sometimes in life just don't align. And I sometimes ask myself, is this really what I'm supposed to be doing? Do I really trust this? If I really trust this, there's a character trait that will show up. And it's called humility. I cannot walk by faith and pride. They go hand in hand. For me to walk, the just shall live every single day, every Monday, every Tuesday, every, you know, a lot of people like to, Monday, therefore I get to behave a certain way. No, because you're a child of God, let me explain to you how you ought to live humbly. For when we live humbly, it's our expression of our faith. Because we're believing in something that we have not seen come to pass. That means that there's going to be a point where I'm going to have to make personal sacrifice. I'm going to have to undo some things. I'm going to have to lower myself because I trust the promises of God, and at the end of it all works out right. because God sees it all. I do right when no one's watching. I do right when people are watching. Why? Because at the end, I desire that my life would please God and honor and glorify Him. Put a lot of stock in that book right there. We've put all our entire life and all of eternity. And if I'm going to walk in faith, I'm going to have to walk in humility. Go with me to Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol thee and honor the King of heaven. Isn't it wonderful to see a secular king praise God? Doesn't happen often, and it is nice. All whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. How many believe the words of Nebuchadnezzar there? Yes, I do. He said truths concerning, not because Nebuchadnezzar said them, do I believe them, but because what he said just aligns with what God says. Again, it's nice to see a secular king take a stand on the principles of the Word of God. Can we continue in chapter 5? Belshazzar. The king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whiles he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels, which his father Nebuchadnezzar, maybe his father, maybe his grandfather, you know, sometimes they're interchangeable there, Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Remember what his dad or grandfather said? Well, for purpose, easy to describe, so I don't have to keep saying back and forth, but let's say it was his father. Your dad ever give you advice? Sure. You know, I had a chance to spend time with Sean, and it's not talking too long with Sean that he'll tell me something his dad taught him. He holds his father in very high respect, and World War II veteran, and taught him some things about life. Belshazzar, his father told him this. He said this, honor the King of heaven, because all his works are truth, his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. And Belshazzar, the first record that we have of him, he's calling for the supplies out of the temple, out of Israel, and he's making a mockery out of it. He's having a feast with, and he's drinking wine, and he's feeding it to his wives and his concubines. And verse 3, and they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God and was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines drank in them, and they drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver. You see what's going hand in hand here? His father had some faith towards the end of his life. And with that faith came humility, and he warned. And now we see a king that has no faith in the God of heaven. And what do we see immediately? Pride. See, when we give up on walking by faith, you know what's going to show up really quickly in our life? Pride. As we endeavor to walk by faith, the just shall live by faith. Hey, I want to please God with my life. I want to do things that He is glorified with. You know what's going to show up really quickly? Humility. At some point, we're going to have to give up and say, God, I'm going to let you run things. How does it go for Belshazzar? Not good, I'll tell you that. In chapter 5 and verse 22, and thou, his son Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. He says, you're going to see the end of your days. And in verse 30, and that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. What happened? His pride caught up with him. Wasn't walking in faith. Because walking in faith looks like humility. Say, what does it mean to walk by faith? It means to walk humbly. Read that verse this past week, Micah 6:8. To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. If we're going to live by faith, number one, we have to recognize that faith is justifying. Number two, faith is humbling. And thirdly, faith is pleasing to God. Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. Look at verse 6. It says this, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. Who? Impossible to please God. Four times in your scriptures it tells us that the just shall live by faith. Just about that exact phrasing. All throughout the scriptures, from cover to cover, it encourages faith in God. We can look at even stories that don't even reference God's name. We see the attribute of faith and the blessings of faith. Queen Esther, faith. And God blesses faith. God is pleased with faith. What do you think God is pleased with in your life? Faith. I think Jacob said it well tonight. Just seeking God as to what God wants to do with my life. Living by faith is seeking the Lord. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently what? Seek Him. God is very much pleased with us coming to Him and saying, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? My senior year, we took a trip to Guatemala. We were looking at studying South America this past week for geography, and with Abby, and we were looking in Central America, and there was Guatemala. And I remember our trip to Guatemala, took our senior trip there, spent, I don't know, 7 or 10 days there, had a great time with the La Paras, and there was a young man on our group and our team, and about every 10 minutes he came to Pastor Sauer and would ask him, hey, what do you want me to do? Give me a job to do. And I'm watching from a distance, and I could see Pastor Sauer getting a little sour, a little frustrated, kind of like, go handle yourself, stop bothering me. Do you understand that the Lord never feels that way? God says, I actually really like it when you come to me and ask me what I think and what I want for you. But for us to do that, number one, we have to have a relationship with Him. That's through the justification. Number two, the only way that can happen is if we're willing to humble ourselves. And with those two things, we can actually please the God of heaven. Let's look at just a couple more verses and we'll be done. Proverbs chapter number 8. Proverbs chapter number 8. Proverbs 8:17. It says this, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. God says, keep looking for me. Say, what does God want me to do today? He wants you to live humbly and seek Him. Psalm 105. This will be our last verse. Psalm 105 and verse 3. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face evermore. My Bible tells me the just shall live by faith. What does that mean? That means faith is justifying. It can do something that the law could never do, and that is remove our sin for all eternity. Praise the Lord. And every day thereafter, He expects us to live humbly. Coming to Him repeatedly and saying, God, what would you like me to do today? Because that puts God where He belongs and me where I belong. and we seek Him evermore. Live by faith. You don't have to go out to the pond and with a stick and see if you can part it. You don't have to try and walk across it. You don't have to take Welch's grape juice and water and try and make one into the other. No, just humble yourself before God and go to Him honestly and say, God, what do you want me to do? I seek my direction from you. God, I'm tired of telling you what to do. I'm asking you, what do you have for me? There's been many a man and ladies that simply just made themselves available to the Lord, and our world was forever changed. What could He do with you and I if we just came to Him and said, God, I'd like to live by faith. Will you show me what you want me to do? Let's all stand. Appreciate you being here tonight. A little bit of a unique service on a Wednesday night. Man, we got a treat from coming here. Hearing the testimonies. Appreciate our young people going. Appreciate our helpers helping. There was a team of people that drove many of vehicles. How many vehicles went?
Five.
And that was a bunch of vehicles. Thankfully, it's only about 2 hours, two and a half or so. And that's a nice little place. But appreciate those that took their time. We so appreciate it. We gave them the week after off and from all that and did that. So that was for them. But no, we very much appreciate those that put on camp, those that go to camp. Appreciate our young people open. I think, I don't know the total. I thought it was over 30 that went from our church to camp. And that, I think Charity was talking about it. I just want to be at the right place at the right time. Camp's one of those places. And right place, right time. The Lord works in those places, and I'm thankful to hear about what God has done in your heart. If you heard a testimony tonight that touched your heart, you want to ask questions. Teenagers love when adults ask them questions about what they're thinking and feeling. So do that. Encourage them. Or you can simply just pray for them. And I know they would certainly appreciate that. Ray, will you dismiss us in prayer tonight?